So today I am going to preach on baptism, and I hope that, what I relay today is what the Bible says about baptism, and I want people to think right now, okay? I don't want, if you've been baptized, don't tune me out. Like, this doesn't apply to me. I'm going to preach out of the Word of God. It most certainly applies to you. But think about, this as we go through. If you've been baptized, it should at least remind you of the importance of it, remind you of the power of it, and remind you of what Christ did for you. And so I hope that this message brings clarity on baptism, and I hope that it shows us how significant that baptism is in our walk with Christ. And so I think today in America, baptism is kind of like church attendance. It's just seen as, well, it's something that I do, but it's not really important. Like, if I go to church once a month, that's once a month more than some people. If I get baptized, well, I get baptized. If I don't, I don't. And people don't place a very high importance in it. But baptism gets its meaning and importance from the death of Jesus Christ. It's a big deal. As we begin this message about baptism, I want everybody to have this mindset. Baptism gets its meaning and importance from the death of Christ in our place and for our sins, and from his victory over death and resurrection from the dead. It's a really big deal, okay? Really big. And so it's not about us doing something. It's not about tradition or religion, okay? But it's about Jesus. That's what baptism's about. You realize that? Baptism's not even about you anyway. It's not. It's about Jesus. Just like communion's not about us. It's about him. It's remembering him. And baptism's the same way. It's about Jesus. And so if it's about Jesus, then I think it's a pretty big deal. I think that it's pretty important. I think that what he did for us isn't a small thing, so we shouldn't look at it as a small thing. And it should never be boring. It should never be dull. It's as big of a deal today as when he actually died and rose from the dead in the first place. It's a big of, as big of a deal today in our life as what it was when you were first told about it, when you first did it, when you first realized it. So what is baptism? Baptism in the New Testament, the Greek word is baptizo. And baptizo means to dip, to immerse, to submerge, or to overwhelm. To overwhelm, like fully wet, okay? When you're overwhelmed, like, it's all over you, right? It's not, I'm overwhelmed. Like, I got a little bit of trouble in my life. I'm overwhelmed. Like, who gets overwhelmed from that? Or maybe even a little pouring of overwhelming. No, it's complete covering. So this word was used in the Greek language back then. It was used to speak of a cloth that was being immersed in dye to change its color, or a ship that's sinking. Neither sprinkling or pouring accomplishes either one of those. I mean, I know Jan, I tried to combine Jan and dye. I know Jan has dyed many different cloths, a lot of her flags and stuff, and how many of those did you dye by, like, flicking dye on them? Not many. And if you did, it would definitely take a lot longer. Okay, when you dye something, you usually submerge it, usually soak it, usually put it down in there. And when a ship sinks, right, it's submerged. It's completely under. And so sprinkling and pouring don't accomplish the dyeing of cloth or the sinking of ships. It's done by complete immersion. So let's read the Great Commission. This is where I'm going to start out today. The words of Jesus to the believers after his resurrection. That's in Matthew 28. If you guys want to turn there to Matthew 28. And I'm going to pray again. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you've given us this word, not just so we know how you want us to live this life, but so that we know you more, because you are the word and it's alive. And we just pray that today you'd speak through this word by the power of your spirit to change our lives, every single one of us, Lord. Make us more like you. As we look in that mirror, I pray that we see that reflection of ourselves growing dimmer and dimmer, and the reflection of you, looking back at us, being brighter and brighter, Lord. Show us what you desire for each and every person today. Sow into our hearts today your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20 says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" All authority. "Go therefore," why? Because all authority has been given to him. So he has the right to tell you to go. That's what he's saying. "Go therefore, because of my authority, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. So this is how Jesus tells us to multiply as believers. Make disciples. How many of you think that you are good at making disciples? Just an honest answer. Probably nobody thinks they're good at it, and I'm going to tell you why. Do you know what making disciples means? Teach. We teach others about Jesus. And most of us feel like we're not equipped to teach, right? Probably most everybody in here can relate with that, except for maybe a few people. And even those who are good teachers sometimes think they're not equipped to teach. But that's what we're instructed to do. We're instructed to make disciples. It's to train and to teach people. To make a disciple means just to teach them to follow Jesus. It's a commandment, okay? If God tells you to do something, does it mean that you're not equipped? No. If he doesn't say, like, when you learn enough, it'd be pretty cool if you could go and tell some people about it, okay? That's not what he says. He says, "Go, therefore, because I have authority, I'm telling you, go, right now, go and make disciples. Go and teach people about Jesus." That's all that he's asking. And it's a commandment. We're supposed to do it. And if we believe that we can't teach, in my opinion, this is my opinion, okay? I'll take off the pastor hat for just a minute. My opinion is if we say we can't teach, then we're calling God a liar, okay? That's not in the Bible. That's my interpretation, so I'll put my hat back on. But who are we to say, "God, I'm not able to teach. I'm not ready. I'm not equipped." He says, "Go. Go and teach people. Go tell them about me. Teach what you know." I tell you what, just from today, if you never knew it before, you know that Jesus died for your sins. You know that he was buried and he was resurrected. You know that he sits on the throne in heaven. If that's all that you can teach somebody, that's all they need to know. Teach what you know. But not only are we to teach them, but we're to baptize. Who are we baptizing? The people that we teach to follow Christ. Yeah, the nations. We baptize everybody that will believe. Notice it's not an option. It doesn't just say, teach them, and if you want, baptize them. It says, go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is a command, therefore baptism is something that we have to do out of obedience, something that we do out of obedience. John 14:15 again says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, he just commanded us to go and teach people, and he commanded us to get baptized. And if we refuse baptism, no matter what our excuse is, no matter what our reasoning is, it's disobedience. And if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but we refuse to be baptized, I believe that we're living in rebellion towards God because he told us to do it. Now, I'm not saying that if you receive Christ right now, you have to be baptized immediately. I'm saying if you are saying, "I don't need to be baptized," then you're living in disobedience. If you don't think that there's a need for it, you're living in obedience. But so why is baptism so important? Do we have to be baptized in order to be saved? No. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works," which is baptism, it's a work, "lest anyone should boast." Salvation is a free gift by the grace of God to people that place their faith in Christ. And in Romans 10:9, it says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Believe in your heart. That's faith. Believing, trusting, confidence in, that's the faith by which we trust in Jesus for salvation. And so I know someone in here probably right now is thinking, I know there's a verse that says that you have to be baptized to be saved. Who's thinking it? Does anybody want to tell me? Somebody is. It was on our baptism certificates that I threw in the trash. We had some that had this verse on them. And because it's misleading with when you take a snippet of it, I threw them in the trash and we're using different ones. So I'll give it to you because I know that you're thinking it, and Jesus is the one that actually said it. Mark 16:16 says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." So do you have to be baptized to be saved, or do you not have to be baptized to be saved? I mean, Jesus said this. Let's read it again. "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." See, it's very clear. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. Do you guys all see it? When you break this down into two parts, it does become clear because there's two basic statements. The first part, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. That's one statement. The other statement is, he who does not believe will be condemned. This verse does not teach that baptism saves, because look who's condemned. He who doesn't believe. Where does it say he who is not baptized will be condemned? It doesn't. It doesn't say that. This verse teaches us something about believers who have been saved. They get baptized. They're saved. Saved people get baptized. But the verse doesn't say anything about believers who don't get baptized. It doesn't say anything about it. And so for this verse to teach that, it would need to include something like, he who is not baptized will be condemned. But it doesn't say that. All it's doing is it's stating a fact about baptized believers. You can take those two things separate. He who believes is saved, he who is baptized is saved. Those are both true because you have to believe before you can get baptized. So you would be saved. It's not teaching that you have to be baptized to be saved. And there are churches, lots of churches that teach this. It's not true. You don't have to be baptized. Salvation is a gift from God alone, grace through faith. But you do need to believe before you get baptized. However, it's not a requirement for salvation. You think about the thief on the cross. Was he baptized? No. And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He told him that. He wasn't baptized. Therefore, you don't have to be baptized to be safe. The Bible doesn't contradict himself. Sometimes we have to tear apart Scripture instead of using a chunk of it to say what we want it to say, which is what many people do with you need to be baptized to be saved. But baptism is not required for salvation. Faith in Christ is, because you can be wet and not be saved. How many of you know that? We can stick you in there. We won't stick you in there right now because there's no water in it. I guess I could turn it on. You could get wet in there right now and not be saved. That's not what it's about. And I saw this saying that said, "Jesus plus anything ruins everything." Jesus plus anything ruins everything because it's only Jesus. It's not him plus this. It's him by himself. Once you start adding things to Jesus to make the path more difficult or traditional or religious or whatever you want to call it, you start adding things to Jesus, it ruins everything. Because the focus comes off of Jesus and it becomes on the works that do not save us. And so when I say that baptism is necessary, why do I think that it's necessary? I still think it's important because we got to go back to what I said at the beginning. It's about Jesus. That's why it's important. It's not important because you have to be baptized to go to heaven. It's important because it's about Christ. It's about Jesus. And anything that's about Jesus is important. That's why praise is important. It's why we start with praise. You know, it's about Jesus. It's not about TJ or Jason or the rest of the worship team. It's not about looking around to see what people are doing. It's not about how good you can sing. It's about Jesus. I'll tell you what, I'm probably one of the loudest singers in here, and I'm also probably one of the worst because I don't care. It's not about me, and quite frankly, it's not about you. I kind of stink, and I know it, but I don't care because it's about Jesus, and I'm happy because of what he did. I'm happy because of who he is, and he gave me this crummy voice, so he must like it. You're like, okay, maybe you guys' taste is just really bad. He has better taste because he likes it. But seriously, it's about Jesus. And so I want to look at Acts, a story or an account in the book of Acts. But we think about faith in Christ. When that's first, baptism is wonderful. It's powerful because it's obedience to Christ. And as we read through the New Testament, you see over and over and over people repenting and believing, then getting baptized. Over and over. Repent, believe, baptism. Repent, believe, baptism. Like all through the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts. It's what Jesus taught. It's what the apostles taught. And in Acts chapter 8, I'm going to lead up to the story a little bit. But Philip is told by an angel to go visit this Ethiopian eunuch. The angel tells him where he's going to be, tells him to go. If you read it, he doesn't even give Philip instruction. He just tells him, go. Go and meet this guy. That's it. And so he does, and he sees that this eunuch is reading the words of the prophet Isaiah. And as he's reading them, Philip's like, hey, do you know what you're reading? And he's like, no. He's like, how am I supposed to know if nobody's going to teach me? Philip's going to make a disciple. He's going to teach somebody what that says. And so Philip teaches him. He reads it to him. He teaches it to him. And he preaches Jesus to this eunuch. And then in Acts chapter 8, verse 36, this is where I'll pick up, says, now as they went down the road, they came to some water. So he's teaching the eunuch, and as they go down the road, they come to some water. And the eunuch says, see, here is water. What hinders me from getting baptized? He heard the word of God. He heard Jesus presented to him. And Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. That's the only thing that prevents us from getting baptized, believing in Jesus with all of our heart. That prevents us. That's why, you go back, he who is saved, who is baptized is saved, because you have to be saved before you get baptized, because without believing in our heart, that's the thing that prevents us. And he answers Philip, and he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So the eunuch commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. So now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. What I find interesting about that story is he just saw a man just go like that. Does it say he was like, dude, where's Philip? No, He was rejoicing. He was presented with the gospel, and then there's water. I should get baptized. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He gets baptized. He comes out. Philip disappears, and the eunuch's just happy. He's just happy because he's got the joy of the Lord. I received Jesus as my Lord. I got baptized. My old self's washed away. He's just excited. He's rejoicing. And a man just disappeared on him. How many of us would do that today? If you came over and you're like, hey, I'd like to get baptized, and I said, all right, go jump in the pool. I baptized you, and then you came up out of the water and I disappeared. How many of you would be like, this is super weird. Like, you'd be looking over the edges, like seeing if I was like hiding from you, playing a prank on you. Yeah. No, Philip was like, he's rejoicing in the Lord. Like, this is incredible. Did he do that after Jesus was presented to him? He did it after baptism. It's a powerful experience in our life. It's important. The eunuch believed, then he obeyed. And again, you always see him in that order: faith in Christ, then baptism. And baptism is important because it's a step of obedience, publicly declaring our faith in Christ, our commitment to him, and it's an identification for us with his death, burial, and resurrection. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4 says, or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's powerful right there. That's what baptism's about right there. Baptism expresses our union with Jesus, reconciling us to the Father. The act of baptism symbolizes our faith in Christ. It's a big deal. How many of you know that you really can't be a closet Christian? I mean, you can call yourself a closet Christian, but a closet Christian isn't a Christian. Okay? Because you need to not only act like Christ, which people should recognize, but you need to be baptized before people saying, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I accept him in front of people. It's similar to marriage. When we put that ring on our spouse's finger, that doesn't make you married or not married, right? Does the ring actually make you married or not married? No, absolutely not. It's something that symbolizes marriage. It's an outward declaration that, hey, this dude's taken, right? I mean, what do single people do when they meet somebody that's attractive? First thing they do is they look at their hand, like, yes, or, oh, man, right? It's an outward declaration. It shows that person's not available. It shows that they're not available. It's an important declaration. It's a declaration that you've made a life-changing decision in front of other people, right? Even if you go to the courthouse, you're still doing it in front of other people. It's a life-changing decision that I make in front of other people. I'm making a decision that I am unashamed of in front of other people. If you get up to the altar for marriage and you're like, don't want to be seen, like you're ashamed of it, you maybe ought to second guess what you're doing, okay? Sometimes people do that, okay? And honestly, as devastating as that could be to the other person, it's proper. I mean, you don't want to marry them if you're ashamed of them. Just as we do that with this ring, we need to do the same with Christ. Just as vows that we say when we get married, that's what makes us married. The vows that we exchange marries people, not a ring. And just as faith is what saves us, not baptism, this baptism is like this ring. It's this outward declaration that, hey, I am a believer in Christ. I'm making this life-changing decision in front of people. Like, you guys are all here to witness it. I'm doing it in front of people. I'm unashamed of this decision. It's just like with marriage. How many of you would do that with marriage? Like, hey, we like to get married, but we don't want anybody to know about this. Like, all right, we're not going to wear rings. Like, we're not going to live together. Like, we don't want anybody to know. I don't want anybody catching wind of the fact that I got married and I'm off the market. Okay? That's how, I mean, how many people would put up with that in a marriage? And it's the same way with Christ. Why would we say that we give ourselves to Christ, that he's our Lord, but yet we would refuse to get baptized, making that outward declaration in front of people? Why would we do that? By this outward declaration, showing the choice we make, we show our union with Christ. We are united with him in this death, burial, and resurrection. And it also portrays what has actually happened spiritually in our life when we choose to accept him. That's a big deal too. It shows this is what happened in my life. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Baptism is the outward testimony of the inward transformation. It's the outward testimony of the inward transformation. Just like if I was to get healed of a broken leg, I couldn't walk, you know, I would be telling people. There would be an outward testimony of the inward transformation. You may not be able to see that my bone is physically healed, but I'd be telling you about it. There ain't no doubt about it. I'd be telling you. Baptism is that. It's the outward testimony of an inward transformation. Colossians 2:12 says, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Before we have Christ in our life, we are dead. You're dead. Like all these zombie movies, dude, we already live in a zombie world. Right, Robbie? Like, it's already a zombie world that we live in. All the people walking around us that don't have their faith in Christ, they're dead. They may not look like the zombies on TV, but they're dead. They are the walking dead. We live the walking dead right now, today, on this earth. Hopefully not in here. Some creepy guy comes walking through there, I'm probably going to rebuke him or something. I don't know what I'd do, to be honest. I'd hide behind Ben. Ben, take care of this guy. But we live the walking dead right now. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Ephesians 2:1 says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. This is what baptism is about, declaring that you who were once dead in sin, you are now alive in Christ. In Christ. It's all about him. Yes, it's about what's gone in your life. It's a representation of that. But that can't happen without him. It can't happen without Christ. It's still all about Christ. So how do we get baptized? Now, I believe that Scripture, I don't believe, this is fact, Scripture is very, very, very clear that baptism is by immersion. Because baptize means immerse. It means to put under the water, to get completely wet. It's what the word means. We don't have sprinkling or pouring because that's not what the Bible teaches. Listen, there are lots of things that Catholics, Lutherans, I don't even know what all other religions teach these types of things, but there's a lot of things they teach. It doesn't mean that they're right. Okay? When people ask what denomination, I get this question every single time. Oh, you're a pastor? What denomination? It's always the first question. Always. I could have not seen somebody for 20 years, and they'd be like, I heard you're a pastor. What denomination? It's like they want to know right now, is what I say going to be credible, or do they just need to walk away? And the first thing I say is they want to know an actual denomination, so I say we're non-denominational. We believe the Bible. I always tack that on. I don't just leave it at that. We're non-denominational. We believe the Bible. Whatever the Bible says, that's what we believe. And if I preach something and you can come to me and show me this is what the Bible says, not what you preach, then do so. Absolutely. I'm not even kidding you. Because I want to preach what the Bible says. And we were in a Catholic service where they did communion. And here's how I stand on communion for children. If your child knows why we take communion, then they should be able to take it. Now, that's up to your discretion as the parent. You make that choice. I'm not going to say, hey, you really should be letting your kid. That's up to you. You're the parent. But for me and my kids, I've let them take communion when they understand what communion means, because it represents something. As long as they know what it represents, why wouldn't they have the opportunity to take it? And we were at a Catholic church, and listen, my family is Catholic, like all of my aunts and uncles. It means that they go to church, like if somebody passes away or occasionally on a holiday, and a lot of Christie's family was too. Some of them go religiously. Every single week they go to Catholic church. But we don't really know, like, the things to do. Okay, when I go to the Catholic church, all I know is I ain't saying Hail Mary. Like, other than that, most of what they pray, I listen to it, and I'm like, yeah, I agree with that. I'll say that. And a lot of it's scripture. But we went up to do communion, and I don't know what I'm supposed to say back to him. He said something to me. He said, Body of Christ. I said, Praise the Lord. That's not what I was supposed to say. Who knows what I was supposed to say? Is it amen? Is that what you're supposed to say? I think you're supposed to say amen. I said, Praise the Lord. But I went, Praise the Lord. Like, because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to say the right thing. He's going to, like, I'm at a funeral. I'm going to make a scene and get kicked out of here. They're going to be like, aren't you a pastor? You're supposed to know what to say. So Christy went, and then Marissa didn't say anything, and he just kind of looked at her, and she walked away and took the bread. Then Xander goes up, and if many of you know Xander, he's an extremely bright person. He might be the smartest person in this room. And that takes a lot for me to say that, okay? But no. He's very, very intelligent, but when he's faced with something that's uncomfortable, like most kids that are not super outgoing, he just kind of locks up. My dad tells the story all the time about taking him up to Larry's to get his hair cut, and he was playing with the truck on the other seat, and Larry said, Hey, what's up, buddy? And Xander froze. And Larry said, What's wrong with him? And my dad said, He's just locked up. And he's like, What? Does he do that a lot? And my dad's like, Just leave him alone. He'll be all right in a few minutes. And he stayed like that for a while, and then he eventually forgot that Larry was asking him a question. This was like years ago. Like, he was probably 4 or 5 or something. But so Xander gets up there, and the priest says, Body of Christ, and Xander just looks at him. And he just goes and tapped him on the forehead and was like, Get out of here. Like, okay. And, you know, I'll be honest, I was a little bit offended when I found that out afterwards. I'm like, listen, I think that my son knows as much or more about the body of Christ and the blood of Christ as what you do. Like, who are you to tell him that he's not able to take it? But it was his church, so. Anyway, what I'm getting at is I believe what the Bible says. The Bible says, take of this cup and take of this bread and remember me. And if they know that they're remembering him, then do it. And I believe the same with baptism. I don't believe in sprinkling. I don't believe in pouring, because you don't see it in the Bible. So when we baptize, we tip people back into the water. We bring them up out of the water. And it's what you see, even what we read with Philip and the eunuch. It says that they went down into the water and they came up out of the water. And you see it with every other descriptive baptism that's in the Bible. You'll see the exact same thing. Some of them don't describe all that, but every one of them will describe it the same way if they're descriptive. And even in Matthew 28, when we're instructed not just to baptize, but to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so another thing that's often questioned in baptism is, Well, aren't you supposed to baptize in the name of Jesus? I did, in the Son. But there's verses that say baptize, or that to do it in Jesus' name. So I'm going to read one of those. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. If you really study that scripture, what it means, in the name of, could be substituted with in the authority of. In the authority of. They're commanding people by the authority that Jesus gave them to be baptized. So there's no debate, because in Matthew 28 it says, "Baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." So we do what Jesus commanded us to do, and it does not contradict other passages. And being baptized this way shows our identity with the Trinity. We belong to the Father. We're saved by the Son. We're indwelt by the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. And so next I want to tackle who should be baptized. Who should be baptized? Does anybody want to answer that? It's really easy. Anyone who believes in Christ, anyone who's given their life to Christ, who believes Jesus is their Lord and that he's risen from the dead, anyone who repents of their sin and believes in Christ should be baptized. In the New Testament, there are no records of that happening in the reverse order, of people getting baptized and then believing, such as an infant being baptized and then later believing in Christ. And I was baptized as a baby. A lot of people probably were. That didn't stop me from being baptized when I came to know Christ on my own. Every baptism in the New Testament, I challenge you to find one that shows it in reverse order. Everyone, baptism is preceded by repentance of sin and faith in Jesus. And I've got a whole slew of them that are just in the book of Acts. If you want those, let me know. I can send them to you. And as we read earlier in Romans 6 and Colossians 2, baptism shows personal identification with death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And that personal identification can only happen if that person has trusted Jesus for salvation. Otherwise, there's no identification. The Bible records a few occasions where entire households were saved. TJ shared one of them earlier. Entire households were saved. First, in that passage, the guy believed. He believed and he was saved. Entire households get baptized, but in every one of these cases, the entire household believed. It wasn't that Cornelius, or take a few of the other, even the one that TJ read about the jailer, it's not that that person believed and their whole family was baptized. That person believed and their whole family believed and their whole family got baptized. That's the way that it works. Therefore, anyone who repents and has faith in Christ should be baptized. Now, does age matter? I would give the same answer I gave with communion. Have they repented and placed their faith in Christ? Like, not just because they come to church and they know what to say. Like, parents, you can discern that if your kids are ready. You can discern if your kids are genuine or if they're just, they just know the church lingo. And I heard a pastor, he was talking about how his kid got baptized when he was 5, okay? And he said he was reading a storybook. You know, a lot of the Bible storybooks, it's a lot of pictures and few words. They're for 5-year-olds, you know. But he was reading it, and he's like, "Hey, Dad, look at that. That guy believed and got baptized, and I should do the same." And he's like, "Oh, yeah? Well, why do you see that?" He's like, "Because I know that Jesus died for my sins. I know he was raised from the dead. I know that he's sitting on the throne in heaven. I need to get baptized." A 5-year-old, okay? He knew it. He understood it. It wasn't like he'd heard it day after day after day and was like, son, will you please get baptized? Please say you'll get baptized. You're making me look like a fool. Okay? It wasn't like that. The kid was like, I need to get baptized. Like, I understand the importance of this, and I need to get baptized. And I'm not saying don't teach your kids on baptism. Most certainly do. But don't persuade them to get baptized. Let them make that choice when they're ready. There's no age limit on baptism. It doesn't matter what our age is. It doesn't matter if we're big or tall or small or tall. It doesn't matter if we're physically mature. It's a matter of the heart. It matters, have we given our heart to Jesus? So if a child wants to get baptized, first, I'll leave that up to the parents. You guys ask them, or if they come to you, but you judge, you gauge whether they're ready. And then afterwards, myself or Ben or Todd can meet with them, and we can ask them. That's what happened with Lily. Ben had met with her and kind of talked with her, and he's like, I believe she's ready. And I said, okay, we'll do it. But use us. We're available. We're available to meet with them and see. But don't make your kids do it. Don't talk them into doing it. Make sure that they're ready. Make sure that they know. Otherwise, they're just taking a bath. Otherwise, they're just getting wet. So what if I've been baptized before? I would probably ask you a couple of questions. One would be, if you were baptized, did you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior when you did it? Because if you didn't, most certainly you should get baptized again. If you got baptized just because of emotion, because other people were doing it, because you were told at church camp that you had to, church camps around here, you might be told that you have to be saved. And so people get scared into baptism. That's not a proper way to be baptized. If you did it and you didn't really know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, absolutely. I don't care if you're a leader in the church. I don't care if you've been going to church your whole life. You should get baptized again. According to Romans 6:4, we were raised to walk in newness of life. If you didn't change upon salvation, then I would question whether you actually got saved. If there was no change, if there's no transformation, no work done in your life. And if that's the case, when you got baptized, you were likely not making an outward demonstration of the inward transformation. So I would say get rebaptized. Maybe you've been walking with the Lord for quite some while, and when you got baptized, you trusted in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, but you really didn't know why you were getting baptized. That happens all the time too. Again, people get pushed into baptism. People get pushed into confessing that Jesus is Lord. People get pushed into coming to altar calls. People get pushed into all these things. You're the one that knows in your heart, was it genuine? And most importantly, God knows if it was genuine or not. I was sharing with a friend the other day about how God knows our heart, and most people use that as an excuse to, you know, really, like, I'm a better person than what you think I am. Like, yeah, I did that, but God knows my heart. That's the most frightening thing, is that God knows your heart, because he also knows that you're lying. I mean, he knows when you use that excuse that you're a liar and you're trying to get yourself out of some trouble. God knows your heart, and that's frightening. It is frightening. So when we make that decision, if you made that decision and you didn't really know what I'm doing, what am I doing this for, what's the significance of it, then I would say yes. Make that declaration known that I have given my life to the Lord. Maybe you've done it years ago, but I'm making that outward declaration. It's like you're putting on that wedding ring before other believers. And if you're baptized as an infant, I don't recognize that as being baptized, period. I just don't. You can call it baby dedication. That's cool. I'm for dedicating your child to the Lord, but I don't recognize it as a biblical baptism because it defies every single thing that I just laid out in Scripture. If you were baptized as a baby, you did not understand the significance of it. If you were baptized as a baby, you did not repent, you did not place your faith in Christ, it wasn't baptism. So I don't even say get rebaptized. If you were baptized as a baby, then get baptized as an adult, as a Bible-believing, faith in Christ adult. So as you consider getting baptized, We also need to remember that it's a washing away of our sins. It represents. It's not a literal washing away. That's the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ washes away our sins. But baptism, it represents that washing of our sins that Jesus paid the price for. And part of it's why when we do it the way that we do it, you go under the water, you're representing dying to self, right? Just as Jesus died, you're representing that burial, the death to self, and as you come forth, it's like that resurrection to new life. You're experiencing that. Some people experience ridiculously powerful demonstrations. Somebody had one on YouTube the other day. I don't remember if it's or on Facebook that shared it. This guy got baptized in a baptismal like this. He jumped out of the water and was like, he was like crazy. And it didn't look like he was horsing around. It looked like he was overwhelmed by the joy. Probably like the eunuch, you know, that didn't even realize Philip was gone. And like the pastor ended up going under the water, and I think somebody else fell in that was trying to help him out. And like it was this whole big catastrophe. But this guy was just so excited. I mean, people have life-transforming experiences during baptism. Not everybody does. Sometimes you come out of the water and you feel the same, but at least you're obedient to what Christ has asked us to do. But baptism is a spiritual action, and something takes place in our life when we declare Jesus before men. I believe that there's a spiritual change, a spiritual shift that can happen in your life. So ultimately, it's your choice whether to be baptized. It's between you and God. I'm not going to try to force anybody to do it. I just want everybody to know what the Bible says about it, and you make this decision. But I also ask that we don't take it lightly, that we don't just like, well, he said that my baptism wasn't good, so I'll do it again. Well, make sure this one's good. I'm not going to baptize you today or in a few weeks, and then 3 months later, you're like, you know, I really didn't understand it. And then 6 months later, well, I don't think I was right with the Lord. Okay, you're either right with the Lord or you're not. You either listen to what I said today and understand it, or you didn't. I don't want anybody to feel forced or swayed to be baptized, but if you place your faith in Christ for real, because God knows our deceitfully wicked heart, you place your faith in Christ for real, you should get baptized. But I want you to take it seriously because it's not a small thing. Don't misunderstand the importance. We have to remember it's about Jesus. It's about what he did for us. And if we recognize that, if we realize that, if we are walking right with God and we realize the importance of it, why would we say no? Why? I'm asking the question. I don't really expect an answer, but everybody can consider that for themselves. Why would you say no if you've really placed your faith in Christ? Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." We're not to be ashamed, okay? If you're a believer and you need to be baptized, you need to be baptized. Consider declaring your faith by this obedient act. But remember that it's not just an act. It's not just a deed. It's not just something we do. We're symbolizing something bigger, something greater. New life, revival from the dead, zombies, you know, restored to wholeness, better than before, okay? It's a big, big deal. And another definition of baptism I want to include from the English dictionary, the word baptism, they added a trying or purifying experience or initiation. It's declaring your new start. It's like an initiation. It's declaring my new start. It doesn't matter if your new start was 20 years ago and you just have failed to get baptized. It's still declaring that new start. It's still celebrating it. Jesus and the apostles, they commanded that believers be baptized as an initial act of discipleship. They're teaching people, here's what Jesus did, here's what he said, here's what you're supposed to do, and they baptized him. It was like an initial act of discipleship. Like, you want to follow Christ? Get baptized. Not because you have to be saved, but because you need to. It's important. It's a big deal. So, repent, believe, be baptized. Again, we're going to do that. It's 4 weeks from today, right? The 7th of September is when we're going to plan on doing that. And me and Ben are working on, we're going to end up getting this up and running where it's available. It won't be warm every week, but it's going to be full. We're working on all that, but we want to do a baptism service like we've done in the past at Dial's house, and we'll do that here. So there'll be more information on that later, but if you're interested in getting baptized, if your children are, other people you know are, invite them, have them come, and that day you will still be able to, okay? I'd like to know ahead so we kind of know how much time to allot for that, but if you desire to, let us know, let me know, or Ben, or you can let Christy know, she can get it to me. But I want to ask everybody in this place to stand with us today. And anybody who may need to be baptized, I just ask that you take it seriously and don't delay it, okay? People come down to the altar sometimes after months and months and months and months and months of struggling with God about coming to the altar. I've done it. Probably not that many months, but definitely weeks. Don't do that with baptism. If you're right with the Lord and you need to be baptized, just get baptized. There's no reason not to. If you understand it, if you listen today and you understand what I'm explaining, there's no reason not to. So I just urge you to don't put it off. When we put sign-up sheets out there in the hallway, people will put it off until like the day before the event to sign up. Don't do that with baptism because you might forget, all right? So make it a priority. Pray about it. If you have more questions, you can see myself or Ben or Todd about baptism. If you have questions, don't let them go unanswered, okay?